Welcome to STEM Spots, a weekly science review produced in cooperation with the Missouri State University Department of Physics, Astronomy, and Materials Science.
Hi, this is Dave Cornielsen, and you're once again listening to STEM Spots. Today, I'm just going to talk a little bit about a subject near and dear to my heart, and that's computational science. Now, of course, you may have sussed out over the last few years that I am actually an experimental physicist by training and trade, but I've done a reasonable amount of computational work. And of course, in physics, you end up doing something like that, and I've been programming in one way, shape, or form since 1978 or so, and done a lot of different kinds of things with that. Not only that, I also teach an introduction to computational physics course and also a junior, senior level computational physics course here at Missouri State University. So even though I'm not a computational physicist by trade, so to speak, I am directly interested in and reasonably knowledgeable about the field. Now, of course, why might you go into computational work? You think of physics and you think paper and pencil theory, like Einstein, perhaps, or Stephen Hawking, and you think experimental physics, like all the lab work that you see done. But actually, as far as when you think about theoretical work, most of the theoretical work nowadays is done using computers in computational work. Now, why is that true? There's two reasons. First of all, in many cases, doing paper and pencil theory would be so laborious that to work out the kinds of things you would need to work out would take you a long time. That is, it could conceivably be done. For example, statistical analysis, you could use a calculator and do much of this work yourself, but it would just take you such a tremendously long time. And the other possibility is that there are actually certain kinds of systems that cannot be analytically solved. That is, you cannot crack them just using paper and pencil. For example, a three-body gravitational problem officially cannot be solved directly in an analytical fashion. Now, there's some tricks of the trade that you can use to analytically approximate solutions, but in most cases, computational work must be applied, and a computer must take the basic laws of physics and then essentially iterate those laws in such a way that you can actually get a result that's reasonable. And so what kind of training is needed? What is needed when we first take a student and try to get them interested in and trained in this field? The first thing is they have to learn how to think logically in a way where they can actually build a plan, that is an algorithm using physical laws, and then take that algorithm and translate that to a programming language. In our particular case, the kinds of programming languages that we use are either Python, MATLAB, or C++. I happen to be, let's say, expert, I guess, in MATLAB and not so much in Python. That's a factual thing that's just luck, I guess, or unlucky if you're a Python person. But we train students in all three of those languages here at Missouri State University. The class I teach, we both use MATLAB and Python, although predominantly MATLAB. And what kinds of things do students do once they learn how to build this plan and an algorithm? Well, the kinds of things they might apply it to would be the evolution of solar systems. For example, Dr. Sarah Morrison in our department, she does dynamical evolution of early solar systems. And that kind of work has so many bodies associated with it that you must do it computationally. Dr. Ridwan Sakij in our department does solid state physics, where he does the analysis of solid state data and incorporates that into modeling so that he can get predictions about various kinds of mechanisms behind various sorts of properties. So maybe band gaps of semiconductors, various kinds of stuff for solar cells, or all kinds of different possibilities that he might apply that to. And you can also use it in the analysis of data. For example, in the biological systems, there's a number of people on campus who are doing work where they apply advanced statistical analysis to biological systems, because statistical analysis is extremely important in those fields. They actually use the computer, and they use a language in many cases called R, where they actually do that kind of work. And so there are people all over campus who have that kind of work going on and incorporate it into their own programs. Now, when a student of ours gets out and they have some background in computational work, they find that when they get into industry, they will many times apply that pre-formative stuff. They think they're going to go to industry and they're going to solve quantum mechanics problems, but that is not typically the case. And so much of the homework that they do, even though it builds their chops, so to speak, is not directly applicable to work that they're going to do in the field. And in fact, they are more likely going to be programming and do experimental work than they are going to do paper and pencil theoretical work. So in that vein, we have a certificate here at Missouri State called the Computational Science Certificate, whereby a person can, even without achieving a degree, even without getting a bachelor's degree at Missouri State, can take a series of courses. There's about five courses in this program where they can actually take a programming class, a computational physics class, a math class, all built around computational work, and they can actually get a certificate from Missouri State University. It's an undergraduate certificate in computational science. We hope that people would maybe avail themselves of that. Of course, mostly it's students that are getting a bachelor's degree in either computer science or math or physics that are actually getting that that certificate, but it's available to anybody out there in the general public who has a little bit of background in programming and would actually like to start applying it and learn how to use that programming ability to do work in the sciences. We have that certificate. So computational physics, an everyday need, every student needs it, and every student learns it here at Missouri State University. Once again, this is Dave Cornelson for STEM Spots, signing off.
STEM Spots is available online at ksmu.org.